Begin the current daf mitzvah. Zivah mitzvah ayin base. Begin 13 lines down the top of the Amud. The Gemara continues in the theme of the previous daf, which was the opening line of our perek of Ha'aral, which is that a kohen, if he's uncircumcised, is not allowed to partake from truma. So then our Gemara brings the Amar of Huna. He says, Dvat Torah, according to biblical law, Mashuch, someone that was properly circumcised, but then he drew the flesh around the rest of the member and drew it out, then to cover the atar, to cover the corona, so although it was revealed, the foreskin was removed. However, he drew it out, and almost like as if he was never circumcised, by pulling the remaining skin around it to have his male member covered. So that, he says, so biblically, he can eat from truma because he's circumcised, although he made it look like he's not. But in midivrayim gazru lav, however, rabbinically they decree that such a person cannot partake of truma, because he looks like he's uncircumcised. He looks like he has foreskin because he drew the skin from around towards the top. So rabbinically he's not allowed to. That's the halacha of Rav Huna. That thing where it says meisvei seems to be a question on this from the following brisa. The brisa says mashuch tzarch shayomel. It says that someone that's has drawn the remaining flesh around his member, has to circumcise. So you see that he is considered biblically like an oral. And therefore, how can you say that biblically he's permitted to partake from truma? The Gemara says, no, that was rabbinic halacha. Biblically, he's really considered circumcised, and therefore he could partake of truma. But it's rabbinically that we're saying tzarch shiyama. Now, the Gemara actually asks on the questioner, b'dikari la, maikari la, the one who asked the question, what was he thinking? Hatzarch ketani. The Brisa says that a mashuch, he has to circumcise. Now, obviously, that's rabbinic halacha, because if it was biblical, it would have said, mashuch hareza oral. He's considered someone that's uncircumcised, and hence he'd be forbidden biblically from truma. The fact it says tzarech sounds like it's connoting a rabbinic halacha. So what was the question? The Gemara says, you're right, but ketoy b'seifa. The questioner was misled based on the end of that brisa. The end of that brisa says, the Rebbe Yehuda Omer, he argues. He says, lo yomel, although the Tanakhama, the first opinion, says that a mashuch has to circumcise. Peter says, no, he doesn't circumcise. And they should second he like. Peter holds, it would be a danger to the person's life if he would circumcise. And the reason is because he is circumcised. He just pulled the skin around to cover it as if it's foreskin. Now, maybe if he's going to, quote, circumcise himself, he's going to make himself into a kroshofcha because he's going to be cutting off part of his male member, because there's no more foreskin. And because of that danger, Beauty says no, that although yes, he looks like he's uncircumcised, which is not a good thing, but don't go ahead and circumcise, because you might then make him into someone that's actually apostle occult. So the Chacham responded to Beauty in that brisa, what do you mean? What are you so concerned about? There were many Jews that circumcised in the days of Ben Kuziva, that is, in those days, the Romans went and forced the Jewish people to draw their, they didn't like that the Jews were circumcised, so they forced them to draw their remaining flesh from around the member, pull it out towards the front, as if to seem like they were uncircumcised. And this was done in the fortified city of Beitar. Now, what happened is that Ben Kuziva went and he drew the Jewish forces, and they took control, fought the enemies, and conquered them. And he ruled over the Jewish people for 2.5 years. Now, in his days, he went and he re-circumcised everybody from this state of mashuch that the enemy forces forced him to be in. And the Chacham said, "Vayelidu banu muvanis," and all these Jews, no, nothing happened to them. There was no sakana. They didn't become into kreis shafcha because they gave birth to many sons and daughters. Shenema. And I'll even prove to you this halacha, that if someone becomes a mashuch, you have to go ahead and circumcise again. Because it says a pasuk Bereishis, it says, himal yimal. Now, the redundancy of himal yimal sounds like you should circumcise, afilamei upon him, even 100 times. Now, how can you circumcise 100 times? Must be, even the case of when you circumcise, but then you mashuch, you pull the skin out as if you have foreskin, then you circumcise again. Vayimer, moreover, it says in the pasuk afterwards, where the pasuk there begins, v'aral zachar lashalo yimal es besar alasa, in that if there's going to be a male that's uncircumcised, and v'nirchasa nevashim emeh, then he's going to get karas. And the pasuk there concludes, because as brisi hefar, he has nullified my covenant, you have to circumcise. Now, what's that extra word as brisi hefar? To tell you, l'rabbis is a mashuch, to include even someone that has circumcised, but has drawn out the flesh, that he has to circumcise again. Now, the Gemara asks, on this statement of the Chachamim, ma'i v'imer, why does it say, and also the following pasuk, you already know that from Himo Yimo. Now the Gemara says, no, the reason why they brought the second pasuk was because of Achitem, and if you're going to say, Hi, Himo Yimoil, that the reason why it repeated to do a circumcision again is not necessarily for Mashuch, it's regarding Tzitzin Hama'akvin Samilo. There are times that even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that you have to circumcise again, not because of Mashuch, but because of, if let's say the circumcision was done and there are strands that are covering the majority of the height of the corona, which invalidates the Milo, therefore you have to do it again. That's what Himo Yimo comes to include, but who said it's including Himo Mashuch? And that the Chacham said, Toshma, so the next pasuk would tell us, it's Brisi Hefar, which is L'Rabbis Hasam Mashuch. And therefore, they said that, you see, what's your concern? You're saying that the Mashuch should not do circumcision. First of all, there's no danger, because you don't become a Kriya Shavcha, as we see all these people were Mashuch and they did circumcision again. But moreover, you see from the Pesukim that Himo Yimol, and even if not from that one, the next Pasuk is Brisa Hefer, that you have to circumcise again, that's coming to include even a Mashuch. Now, on that, the Gemara concludes that who, the one who had asked the question on Rav Huna from the Reisha, Savar, he thought from the end of the Brisa, which that's what misled him, Medikonosim Lahashas, from the fact that the Rabbanan, who when they come to support their opinion that Mashuch requires a Mila, they bring a Kra, they bring a Pasuk, again, either Himo Yimol or the next Pasuk of his Brisi Hefar, must be the Araisihi, must be those who say that you have to do a circumcision by Mashuch, is that it's a biblical halacha. And if it's a biblical halacha, that's what he was asking on Rav Huna, who says that no, biblically he's okay. He's not an oral. He could eat truma. It's only rabbinically. So, but you see from the Rabban, not like that. You see that it's biblical. I think Mar says, no, velohi, it's not true. It's actually midrabbanan. And as we see from the terminology of the ratio where it says tzarech shimol connotes only rabbinic halacha. But kras machte b'alma, and the pasi that's being brought is only an allusion to this rabbinic halacha. And therefore, not a difficulty on Rav Huna from that brisa, but the reason the one who had asked the question was because he thought from the fact that the pasuk being brought is that it's a biblical halacha, and which would seem to refute Rav Huna that says it's only a rabbinic halacha. But nothing more continues to ask in Rav Huna. The following brisa says, Tumtum ein oichel betruma. A tumtum is someone that has his genitalia is covered with a thin membrane. Now, it's not clear if he's male or female. So a tumtum is not allowed to partake of truma. The reason is because maybe if the membrane will tear apart, we'll find out that he's really male and comes out that he's an oral, he's uncircumcised. And now we're not doing it because he's covered, so therefore he cannot partake of truma because an oral cannot partake of truma. Now, Nashav, however, his wives, which the Gemara shortly will explain exactly how can the tumtum marry a woman, maybe he himself is a woman, but be that as it may, his wives, Vavadav, and his slaves, Oichlin, they can eat. And the reason is because they're Kinyan Kasboy, and he's a full-fledged Kayan. The only reason why he can't eat is because he's lacking some type of a tikkun. It's just a technical problem, but he's a full-fledged Kayan, and hence they're considered valid Kinyan Kasboys. Now, Mashuch, someone that was circumcised, but then they drew the flesh to cover the member as if it's foreskin, or v'nolikushu mahol, or someone that was born circumcised, hare'elu oichlim, those individuals could eat truma, and as Gemara will conclude, that's obviously the question. Rav Huna, where we see that a mashuch, even rabbinically, it's not saying that they're permitted to go ahead and eat from truma, not like Rav Huna. But the Gemara continues according to Brice that says androgynous, that's someone that has both female and male characteristics, where, as Rashi explains, we're talking about that at least the male characteristic, that of the member, is circumcised, is zoichel b'truma. So then, either way you look at it, he could consume truma, because whether if he's a man or a woman, or whether if he's in his own category as it is, as an androgynous being, either way, he's a child of a kohen, and all the children of a kohen could eat. The only problem would be that he's an oral. Now, that's only if he's a male, and if he's a male, he has circumcised that male component of himself, and therefore, either way, the androgynous could eat truma. However, he cannot consume kachim, which Rashi says it's a reference to kachim. For example, this that they can't eat the carbon chatas or ashram or the remnants of the carbon minchas, the flower offerings. And the reason is because those could only be eaten by the zichrikun, by the males of the kanim. And then the androgynous is doubtful if he's a male or female or some other category, but if he's a female, he would be forbidden. So therefore, based on that doubt, he cannot consume kachim. Now, tumtum, eino eichel, a tumtum, as we said, is someone that's not clear which one he is because it's covered, cannot eat loy b'truma, not b'truma, which the Gemara shortly will explain why we're repeating this. We already start off the brisa by saying a tumtum cannot eat truma. But be that as a maid says, he cannot eat truma, and v'loy b'kachim, he can't eat kachim either, again, because he might be female also. Now that's the brisa. But the Gemara concludes this question on Rav Huna, k'toni mias, one thing we learned, as we mentioned this before, mashuch v'noylid k'shumal, the brisa says, regarding someone that was circumcised, but he drew the skin covering the member, and he was born circumcised, hare elu eichlin, that they could eat truma, obviously that we didn't make even a rabbinic decree forbidding a mashuch from eating truma. So the Gemara says, chief to Rav Huna, that refutes Rav Huna, who said that at least rabbinically, it is forbidden for mashuch to eat truma. As the Gemara says to Yufta, that seems to be a refutation from this price from Rav Huna, that we see clearly that a mashuch is allowed to eat, even rabbinically, not like Rav Huna. Now, once we introduced that brisa, which was used as a question of Rav Huna, the Gemara elaborates on it. Amamar said that tumtum ein oichel b'truma. A tumtum cannot partake of truma. However, nashav avadav oichel. However, his wives and his slaves could. Now, the Gemara asks, as we alluded to this question before, nashav l'tumtum enole. How exactly does a tumtum have a wife? As the Gemara explains, ilem adekadosh, if you're going to say that, what do you mean? This tumtum went ahead and got engaged to a woman. Now, what are you going to say? How would that work? Because maybe he's a male. We're not sure. If he's a male, then his kedushin is a valid kedushin. Now, the Tanya, and actually we learned this in the Braisa. The Braisa says, tumtum shekidish, someone that his genitals are covered, so we don't know if he's male or female. If he gets engaged to a woman, kedushim kedushin. His kedushin is a valid kedushin. In other words, out of doubt, because we don't know, maybe he's male, and therefore she would need a get from him. Actually, it even works the other way too. If niskadish, if he gets engaged to another man engages him, they're also kedushim kedushin. They're also his kedushin is kedushin, because maybe he's a female, and therefore maybe the man is engaged to him. Now, Rashi's the halachic ramification of that would be is that the man who got engaged to this tumtum would now be forbidden out of doubt into marrying the sister or the mother of the tumtum, because maybe he is a woman and one is not allowed to marry a woman that he was married to, because maybe this tumtum is a woman's mother or sister. Now, if that's what you would be saying, that's the case of tumtum. A tumtum himself cannot eat, again, because maybe he's male and he's uncircumcised, but he could have a wife, because maybe he's male, and as we see in this braisa, that his kedushin is a kedushin. Now that the Gemara says, Eimer d'amar, when did we say that the kedushin of a tumtum to a woman is considered kedushin? That's only lochumro, that's only as a stringency. Meaning, because we have this doubt, we're not sure, maybe he's male, so therefore you need to have him to divorce her with a get. But lakula mi'amrina, did we ever say this as a leniency? In other words, to say that for sure he is definitely a male, and therefore this Jewish woman that he's engaged to could go ahead and eat truma? That's not true. But safik ishahu, this tumtum, is maybe a woman. And a woman cannot get engaged and married to a woman. Therefore, would not be a valid kinyan kasper to go ahead and allow his wife, so to speak, to eat truma. So what exactly is this case talking about? That the tumtum's wives could eat truma. So the first Tera Zigmar brings up Abaya. He says, the type of tumtum we're talking about here is talking about kesha beitz of nikoris mibachutz, where the testicles are visible, protruding from this membrane. Now, obviously, this tumtum is a male. Now, the tumtum himself cannot eat truma because he's not circumcised, because there's a membrane covering it. But most definitely, as we can see from the protrusion, that he is male, and therefore his kedushin is a kedushin. He's a regular male, and therefore his wife is a kenyan kasboy of a valid male, and therefore she could eat truma. Another Teres Sigmar brings Rava Amr. He says, no, my nosha, what does it mean, his wives? We're talking about a regular tumtum, but maybe he's a woman. What does it mean? It means his women. It means to say imoy. It means to say that his mother, the mother, if she has a surviving child from this marriage to the kohen, could eat truma. The tumtum is considered a valid child that can go ahead and have his mother eat truma. So the Gemara says imoy pshita. It's pretty obvious. Why wouldn't the mother be able to eat because of a child that's a tumtum? And we know that Yilid Beser permits the mother, even if her husband had died, to continue eating truma. And that the Gemara says no. The chiddush is ma'ad tema moilid Michael. We would have thought to say, because the pasuk that we learn out that a mother, which is a bas yisrael who is married to a kohen, that could eat even after her husband the kohen died, because she has children from him, it says yilid beisai. Now we would think maybe yilid beisai doesn't just mean those who were born into his household, but it means, since it uses the terminology of birth, it means to say only those children that are fit to give birth themselves. But that which is not fit to give birth, which is the case of a tumtum, cannot go ahead and feed the mother because she has a child from this kind like that. That's the chiddush that we're teaching in the Braisa, that a tumtum is a valid child to go ahead. It doesn't have to be able to be moilid as long as he's yilid beisa to feed his mother truma, but it doesn't mean wives because he can't have a wife. It means his women, meaning his mother. Now, however, the Gemara says, Toshima, come in here. If we analyze the Braisa, seems to indicate like a Abaye's answer, not like Rava's answer. Because the Braisa said, it repeated, as we had alluded to this question before, it concludes by saying, Tumtum eino oichel, Tumtum cannot eat, lebe truma v'lebe kacha. Now, Bishlem el Abaye, it makes sense why, according to Abaye, that there's this redundancy saying that a Tumtum cannot eat truma. Because Tana Reisha, when we learned in the Reisha, the first part of the Braisa, that the Tumtum cannot eat truma, that was a reference to Aral Vadai, to a definite Aral, meaning, because he explained that case of Tumtum that has wives that he could feed, was talking about that his testicles were sticking out. Now, that's a definite Aral. A definite Aral is saying, oh, that he can't eat Truma. But Birkatani Seva, you still have to say the Seva to say, even a classic Tumtum, where it's only a Suffolk Aral, even a Suffolk Aral cannot consume Truma. Where, you're right, in such a case, he wouldn't be able to be Meichel Ishtai because maybe himself is a female. Now, that's why, but it makes sense why we're having two cases of Tumtum, because one's talking about essentially a Vade Zachar, and one's talking about a Suffolk Aral. But El Rava, but according to Rava, well, he said both cases are talking about a regular Tumtum. So Tumtum, the Seva Lomali, why is there a redundancy that a Tumtum cannot partake of Truma if that, according to Rava, is already the case of the Reisham? But the Gemara says, no, it's not a question on Rava, because my Tumtum, what is this when it says in the Seifa, again Tumtum? Now, literally the word Tumtum means to say of closed up, it's a reference to an oral, to a full-fledged oral. And that's a different case. Tumtum we said in the Reisha. Now we're talking about an uncircumcised person, someone that has a foreskin in the Seifa. Now, that the Gemara asked, well, what does that mean? Hashta Suffolk Aral Loyachal, if you told me already in the Reisha that even a doubtful uncircumcised person cannot eat Truma. Vadi Aral Achal? What do you mean? So you would entertain to say that a definite Aral could eat? Of course not. On that, the Gemara says, no, it's not a question, because Ma Tam Kama, the Seifa of the Braisa is coming to explain the halacha of the Reisha. And it's saying, what's the reason? And that is, Ma Tam Tumtum Eino Yechel B'Truma. Why is in the beginning of the Braisa that we said that a Tumtum cannot eat Truma? That's what the Braisa is explaining. They should suffolk Aralhu, because a Tumtum is a doubtful Aral. We don't know if he's male or female. If he's female, okay, he could eat. But he might be a Zachar, and therefore he might have an Arla, foreskin. And that's what the Seifa is ending by saying that, oh, and that's a problem because a tumtum, meaning an oral, cannot eat from truma or from kachem, and therefore it's not a question, it's not really redundancy, it's actually an explanation. Now the Gemara resumes this discussion by saying that lema, let's say that this halacha Rav Huna that we opened up this daf with, that was saying that biblically it's permitted for mashachti truma, and it's rabbinically that you cannot, let's say it's ketanoi, that if mashuch is a biblical halacha or it's a rabbinic halacha. As the Gemara explains, there's a braisa that says, Mashuch, if a man that was circumcised but then drew the flesh out, or of a nelikishu mahol, or that he was born circumcised, where you would have to still draw the blood from the makamila, that's called hatapas dambris, or vegation is garikishu mahol, or a convert that was, he was already circumcised before he converted. For example, if he was an Arab or a Givaini that was already circumcised because that's what those nationalities do, and then he converted, where you also have to do Hatavas Dam Bris over there. Or V'katan Shavas Mane, or a minor that the eighth day has passed already. Or V'shar Kalani Ma'ilim, or all others that are circumcising, which the Gemara explains, that's Lasu, that's coming to include Mishesh Lishtei Arla, someone that has two foreskins. In other words, he has the male member, and he has one foreskin and another one on top of that. So regarding all these different cases, the halacha is ein nemil el b'yam. Although this is not your classic bris mila, which are done for a regular child on the eighth day, because here either it's circumcised already or there's two foreskins, all these different elements. Although it's not your classic bris mila, and the classic bris mila, it says on the eighth day you do it during the daytime. On this, the Tanna Kama says even these cases have to be during the daytime. Whereas Rabbi Elazar b'Rabbi Shimon, he argues, he says no, bismanoi, a classic circumcision in its time in the eighth day. That is, as we continue on Tomid Beis, you're right, that has to, as the Pasuk says, has to be circumcised during the daytime. But shaloi bezmane, if it's not done in its regular classic way, meaning not in its time, as these cases that we brought, then the circumcision could be whether by day or even by night. Now that the Gemara wants to say, isn't it that they're arguing in Rav Huna's halacha? And that is, the Marsav, the Tanakhama holds, Moshuch Dei Raisum, the case of Moshuch is a biblical halacha. Now that's why he says, including one of those cases over there of Moshuch, that has to be during the daytime, because it's like a regular halacha of circumcision. Marsav, whereas Rav Elazar Shimon held that, no, Moshuch Dei Rabbanan, since it's only rabbinic halacha, that's why he holds, it can be done not only by day, but even by nighttime. Now that the Gemara asks for Tisber, can you entertain that this is what they're arguing about? But one of the other cases they have over there, Katan Shabbos Manoi, regarding a regular child, just it's past the eighth day, Mikel Amanda Amad Rabbanon, is there anyone that would say that that's rabbinic halacha, which is what you want to say, why according to Rabbi Elazar B'Shimon you could do it at nighttime, which he's saying, okay, because Mashach Drabbanon, but they didn't even say Mashach Drabbanon like Rav Huna, but that wouldn't explain that why the logic would be for Katan Shabbos Manoi, why that also could be at nighttime. That's not rabbinic halacha, that's Daraisa. And if that would be the case, that everyone agrees the Raisa has to be by daytime, so then he would have to say it should be by daytime. So the Rav the Gemara says, this is not what they're arguing about. Rather, the Kulei Alma Mashach Rabban, rather everyone agrees, like Rav Huna, that Mashach is only a rabbinic halacha and not a biblical halacha. Now, but Katan Shabbos Manoi Daraisa, and you're right, a child that's past the eighth day is a biblical halacha. So if they have each one, they're talking about rabbinic halachas and Daraisa halachas, so what are they arguing about if it has to be only a day or even at nighttime? And this is what they're arguing about. Mar Sava, the Tanakhama held, Darshinan Uvayoyim. We expound the extra vav in the word Uvayoyim, because it could have said in the Pasuk, Bayoyim Eshmina Yimel, on the eighth day you circumcise. But it doesn't say this. It says Uvayoyim, and in the eighth day. Now, what's and the eighth day? That's coming to say that there are other ones that are also have to be during the daytime, which the Tanakhama holds are even those which are not done in the eighth day. And Rashi explains, although obviously the case of Moshuch is not being included from here, that from Uvayoyim, that it also has to be during the daytime, even though that's one of the cases of the Tanakhama, because that's only rabbinic halacha, and it was only instituted at a later point in time. However, since like the case of Katan Shabbos Mani is being included, although it's Shloi Bezmani, it's not on the eighth day, so this case of Moshuch would also be included, has to be during the eighth day, because as a classical halacha is, it's called Koma D'Takan Rabbanan, Kein D'Raisa Takan, they do it exactly as biblical halacha. So though it's not your classic milah, but we see even not classic milah, like if it's done on the 12th day, it still has to be done during the daytime. So a rabbinic institution will have the same halachas as all these other non-classic type of circumcisions that also have to be during the daytime. But the Blessed Rishon held that we do not expound the extra vav uvayoyim. Therefore, we don't learn out Katan Shabbos Manoi that it has to be during the daytime. It could even be at nighttime. And therefore, most definitely, Moshuch, which is only rabbinic halacha, for sure doesn't have to be done during the daytime, and it could be done even during the evening. And that's what they're arguing about. Now, the Gemara actually says that kiha, that this, that we how we just explained that what they're really arguing about, not in Rav Huna's halacha. I mean, they can both agree Rav Huna's halacha is only rabbinic. But they're arguing regarding this idea of do you darshan the extra vav of uvayoyim to include all these other types of circumcisions, is actually what we learned in the Braisa, where Rabbi Lazar had asked a question on Rabbi Yochanan regarding a different halacha, and he asked on him from this halacha of Katan Shabbos Manoi, where we expound from the extra vav of Uvayoyim Hashmini to include that even those which are not on the eighth day also have to be circumcised only during the daytime. As the Gemara brings, the Yasser Rabbi Yochanan Mekadarish. Rabbi Yochanan was sitting and expounding as follows. He said that the following halacha, Neisir Bezmane, regarding a carbon, that day became nicer. It just expired the amount of time when you're allowed to eat this carbon. So if it's bizman, if it's on that day when it became nicer, well then, Einan Nisrav Eila Bayim. Then, as the Pasuk says clearly in Vayikra Perek Zayin, you have to burn it only during the daytime, because it says Bayoyim HaShlishi on the third day, and not during the nighttime. But Rabbi Yechon said, Shaloi bizman, if it's not during its time, meaning one waited from burning it, and it's already a day later, then this would be Bayim Bimalai, then it can be burnt even not only by daytime, but even at the night. Now that's what Rabbi Yechon said. Now the Ace Rabbi Lazar Rabbi Yechon, and Rabbi Lazar asked Rabbi Yechon from this halacha that we were just discussing. The Braisa says, Ainli Ela Nimu Lishmini, I would only know that regarding a child that's being circumcised on the eighth day, She'ein Nimul El Bayoyim, that there you could only circumcise during the daytime, as the Pasuk says, Bayoyim Hashmini. Now, however, the Braisa tells us, Minayin L'Rabbis L'Tisha, How would I know to even include if it's the 9th day from when he was born, or la'asar, the 10th day, or la'achar asar, even the 11th day, or l'shnayim asar, even to the 12th day? Now, Rashi explains why do we pick these days, because it's alluding to a Gemara Masechet Shabbos, which says that there are certain times when, even if a child's not sick, you cannot circumcise him on the 8th day, rather only the 9th, 10th, 11th, or even 12th. For example, if a child's born by Bein HaShemesh, by twilight, so then it's not clear what day he was born on, so then you could only circumcise him on the 9th day, because maybe it was already nighttime, and therefore it has to be a day later. If it's Bein HaShemesh of Erev Shabbos, then you have to circumcise him on the 10th day, because you can't do it on Shabbos. If Yom Tov comes after Shabbos, it has to be the 11th day. If there's 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, then you have to do it on the 12th day. But be that as it may, it's saying that how do you know that even if it's Shlei Bezmanoi, that it has to be during the daytime, Tamalayma, that's what the Brisa teaches, Uvayim. And that is, and the day, which again, as we explained, that even La'achar Zman has to be during the daytime. Now, so that Rebbe Elazar says even further. He says, Vafilo Laman Deloy Darish Vav. Now, even according to Elazar ben Shimon, who we just quoted just before, which obviously, as we were explaining, that's what they're arguing about, and that's what we're proving from this discussion, that he says, Shalei Bezmanoi, that the child could even be circumcised during the nighttime, and therefore, maybe it's not a question on your exposition, Rabbi Yochanan, because maybe you're going like him, who he doesn't expound the Vav to say that even Shalei Bezmanoi has to be during the daytime, but Vav Hey, but an extra Vav and Hey, for example, what the psukim we're talking about, where it says Vehanoiser, it could have just said Noiser. It says, and the Noiser, even he's Darish, even Rabbi Elazar Shimon would expound, and therefore Rabbi Elazar said to Rabbi Yechanan, it seems difficult, your halacha, because you see clearly that Noiser has to be burnt during the daytime, not only by Yom HaShlishi, but even La'achar Zmanoi, even Shalei Bezmanoi, not like you're saying that even by Yom Belayla, because you see clearly that the extra Vav says that even the Shalei Bezman, even not in the times, has to be during the daytime. Because even though according to Rabbi Shimon, that says you're not darshaning Vav, but Vav, hey, he would darshan. Be that as it may, this is a raya that their machlekes was regarding if we darshan the Vav of Uvayayim, or if we don't, but not in Rav Huna's halacha. Now, however, the Gemara concludes that discussion of Rabbi Yochanan and Rabbi Elazar, that Ishtik, Rabbi Yochanan was quiet. Rabbi Elazar seemed to have a good refutation of what Rabbi Yochanan was trying to expound, where maybe it's only by Yom HaShlishi has to be by day, but after that it could be even by nighttime. He proved him clearly from the halacha of Mila that the extra Vav, and here for sure with his Vav Hey, tells you that no, even Shalei Bezmanoi still has to be by Yom. Now, Basid the Nafik, after Rabbi Elazar left, so Amalei Rabbi Yechon Rosh Lakish, Rabbi Yechon reflected to Rosh Lakish, says, Re'is Leben Bedas, I see by Rabbi Elazar, who is the son of Bedas, Sheyesh V'derish, he's sitting and expounding these Pesukim, K'mayisha M'pia Gvor, like almost Mayisha Beinu, in the name of Hashem. In other words, he's using Tanoic terminology. Now, Rashi explains and just clarifies that Rabbi Elazar ben Bedas wasn't a Tan himself. He was actually in the Meir, and he's actually the student of Rabbi Yechanan. And he is the Rabbi Elazar that's mentioned throughout Shas in the Gemara. Now, Rabbi Elazar, who's generally just mentioned without who saying who his father is in Mishnayos and Brises, that's a different Rabbi Elazar. It's Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua. But so Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yechanan's comment to Rosh Lakish, he sounds like a Tana. He's saying these types of expositions of Psukim. Wow. So Rosh Lakish said to Rabbi Yechanan, Didehi? Do you think that it was his own exposition that he was darshaning from Uvayoyim? Masnitahi, it's a brisa. Of course he was using Tanoic terminology. It's a brisa that he said to you. And that's why he was saying that your halacha from Neisser is incorrect. Now that Rabbi Yechanan asked Rosh Lakish, Heichatanale, where is this brisa brought? So he said, but Teres Kainim. This is in the Teres Kainim, which is the brises that explain Sefer Yikra. So Nafig Tanye Betlosa Yemi. So Rabbi Yechon went out. He learned the entire Teres Kainim in 3 days because he wanted to know this halacha. And Vesav Rabbi Tlasa Yachin, and then he understood it, he digested it in over a period of 3 months. But again, that's the end of this discussion regarding Mashuch, if it's rabbinic halacha or it's biblical. And we thought that this would be the machlokes that we had brought, and we said that no, it's rabbinic because actually their machlokes is regarding if we darshan Uvayoyim or not. It's regarding this halacha of if something is not your classic circumcision, which is a case by Mashuch or Katan Shalei Bezmanoi, if that has to be by day or if it could even be done by night. Now the Gemara continues with a discussion that I had introduced on the previous daf. The Gemara on the previous daf had said that an Aral, someone that's uncircumcised, he's Mutu Lekabel Hazah. In other words, he could be purified even in this, from the if someone sprays him with the ashes of the Parah Duma, if he had contracted Tumas Mes by touching a dead person, he could be purified even in the state of Arelos. Now the Gemara says the opposite case now. Amar Belazar says, Arul Shehiza, regarding someone that's uncircumcised, that he sprayed someone else with the purification waters of the paradum of the red heifer, Hazasik Shera. That's also kosher. His spraying someone else will be a valid hazah and purify that person. As Rabbi Elazar says, Midah have a tefillah. It's the same thing that applies to a tefillah, which is someone that was tameh and had immersed himself in the mikveh that day, and however he didn't have sundown yet. Where Sha'afa Pishasa b'truma, although as the Gemara will explain the Ayin Dalma Beis from exposition of Psukim, that he's forbidden in truma, yet kosher b'para, still he's kosher to spray the ashes of the paraduma onto someone that became impure from a dead person. And so therefore, we can say the same thing by an aral. Although an aral is forbidden in truma, he'll be mutter in par, just like a tefillah yayim is forbidden in truma, yet permitted to do the hazah in the paraduma. Now the Gemara asked on that comparison. Malat tefillah yayim shekei mutter b'maisa. Wait a second, we see leniencies there by a tefillah yayim, which are not by aral, because a tefillah yayim is permitted to partake of maiser. It doesn't need sundown like by truma, which is not the case by aral, where aral is forbidden in maiser. So how could you say aral is the same lenient as tefillah yayim, so I say that it's permitted to do the hazah of the paraduma? So the Gemara responds to that question. Atu anan l'chila kamrina? Did you think we were talking about consumption? In other words, are we talking about consuming the paraduma? That you want to ask and say, wait a second, regarding consumption, an arul is more stringent than the tefillah yayim because it's forbidden to consume maaser, and therefore maybe it's going to be forbidden by para. Anan l'negiya kamrina? We're talking about halachas of touching. Now, regarding touching, there's no question that we could ask to say, oh, that an arul is forbidden to touch maaser, because it's not true. Actually, an arul could even touch kachim. And actually, that's what we were comparing was, and saying, umatvul yoyim, if we find matvul yoyim, that it's actually going to be more than just a comparison. Sh'asr b'negiya de truma, a tvul yoyim is forbidden to even touch truma. As Gemara later on learns in Daf Ayin Hey Mem Aleph, that it says in the pasuk, b'mayim yuva, that it will come into water, v'tome ad arv, and it will be tome until the evening. Now, that's talking about touching, because actually the pasuk there is talking about immersing a vessel. And it's saying that you need to have sundown, which obviously regarding touching things, not regarding consuming things. So we see that a tful yoyim is forbidden to even touch truma, yet, mutter b'para, yet still a tful yoyim is permitted to do the hazah on someone that's a tmei meis. So it's actually even like kal v'chaymer. So arul shemutu b'negiyah. So regarding an arul, someone that's uncircumcised, that's permitted to touch truma, ain't it did shemutu b'para, isn't it a kal v'chaymer? That of course he's allowed to go ahead, and regarding halachas of touching things, which in this context is spraying the ash of the paraduma, of course he should be allowed to. And there's no question from eating, because we're not talking about eating, we're talking about touching things. The Gemara says, Tanam Halachai, similarly with Nabraisa, that Aral Shehiza has this halacha of Rebbe Elazar, that someone that's uncircumcised that sprays the ash of the paraduma, Hazasik Shera, it's a valid hazah, Umay Sahaya, and actually there was such a story, V'chshir Chacham Hazasa, and the Chacham invalidated this hazah of this Aral on someone that was Tumei Meis. Now, however, the Gemara says, Meisvei, there seems to be a contradiction from this Braisa from a different Braisa. The Braisa says, Tumtum Shekidesh, regarding a Tumtum, which is not clear if he's male or female, that sanctifies. Now, the sanctification of the paraduma, ashes, is that he mixes. There's a whole process. You first burn the red heifer, you then take the ashes and you mix it with water. That's the process called as Kidshai, of sanctifying it. So a tumtum that does that, kiddushei pasal, that is invalid process of this part of the paraduma function. Neshu suffic arl, because a tumtum is doubtful arl, because he might be male. If he's male, his male member has not been circumcised. V'arl pasal l'kaidish, and someone that's uncircumcised is forbidden to partake of the paraduma process. Now, v'andreginus, the Braisa continues, says that someone that has both male and female characteristics, so as long as he has circumcised his male component, Shekidish, if he does this part of mixing the ashes with the water, then the Tanakhama says Kiddushei Kasher. His sanctification is kasher, because if he's a male, it's circumcised. And even if he's a female, according to the Rabbanan, which more later on we'll learn the understanding of this machlek, is hold that a woman is valid to also do the Kiddush part, mixing the ashes and the water of the paraduma part. Behudaimer, he argues, he says, no, Af androgynous, a kiddush kedoshav psulim, that even the androgynous, even if let's say his male member is circumcised, that if he does the kiddush, it's invalid. And the reason is nesha safek isha, because androgynous, who has both components, is doubtful if he's male or female. And since he might be female, v'isha psulim lekadosh, Rabbi Yehuda's opinion is that a woman is forbidden to do the kiddush part, and therefore androgynous is also similarly forbidden. Now, that's the end of that braisa. But one thing the Gemara concludes this question is, Ketanim Mia, one thing we see in this braisa is that Aral v'safik Aral, that someone that's uncircumcised or even a doubtful case of uncircumcised like a bayatumtum is possible a kaddish, is invalid of doing kiddish. Yet we just brought before Rabbi halacha and similarly regarding that braisa, that an aral is permitted to partake of these halachas of the paraduma, where we say that it's permitted to do the azah. And here we see clearly in this braisa that it's forbidden to partake of the process of the paraduma. So Rabbi Yosef says, not a contradiction, because it's a machlokes tanoim. Hai Tana, the Tana of the second Braisa, is Tana de Rebbe Akiva Hu. De Marbile, as it's brought on Daf Ayinim et Alf, he includes L'Oral Ketumah. He equates someone that's uncircumcised, like someone that's Tame. The Tana like Linda Braisa. Akiva Omer, he says, Ish Ish. Now, that Pasuk says, any man that's Mizera Aaron from the children of Aaron, this is the Pasuk of Yukach of Beis Dalad, V'utzeruwa Oizav, if he has Tzaras or he has Tumazav, then by kachim lo yechli, he cannot partake of kachim adashayit until he purifies himself. Now, Rabbi Akiva darshins from the extra word ish, l'rabes ha'aral, to include the aral. Now, although the halach is toma that aral is forbidden to partake of truma, but one thing we see is that that pasuk is toma those who are tamei, and therefore they cannot partake of truma. But he's including in that pasuk an aral. So obviously he equates an aral like a tamei. Now, therefore what that means is, not only can an aral not eat truma, he cannot even touch truma, because he's Tameh, and the Tameh cannot touch Truma. And therefore, the second Braisa was Rebbe Kiva, who he says that an Aral is Tameh, and if Aral is Tameh, of course he cannot partake in the processes of the Paraduma, because he'll be Metamet. Now, Amar Rabba says, Have Yasiv Nekameh Rebbe Yosef. I was sitting in front of Rebbe Yosef, Bekashli, and it was bothering me, this resolution, that if Rebbe Kiva, it's true that the second Brice like Rebbe Kiva, that he equates Oral like Tame in all its elements, Leilish Tame Tana, so wouldn't we find the Tana anywhere in all the corpus of Teresh Shabbat Peh to tell us when it talks about those who are Tame not allowing to touch things, Tan Valisni Ha'oral Va'atame, to tell us that an Oral and Tame are equal, and Valim Rebbe Kivi, to tell us that that's like Rebbe Kiva? In other words, from the fact that we don't find that, it would seem to indicate that this second braisa is not because it's going like Rebbe Kiva, because an aral is like a tamei. Rather, it must be because it's a stringency by the process of the paraduma that an aral is possible lekadosh, and hence would be possible from doing azah. But regarding touching truma, we would say that most definitely an aral would be permitted, because if an aral would be forbidden to touch truma, and then to say that that's the time of the second braisa, that neither can he touch the paraduma. And then we would have found somewhere throughout Mishnayos, the Braisa, something that says that an aral is forbidden to touch things of Hekdesh. Now, therefore, it seems that the question comes back. In other words, you cannot resolve the contradiction of the second Braisa to the first Braisa to say that it's Rebbe Kiva, because most definitely you have the Kal V'Chomer, it seems like Rebbe Lazed said, from Tful Yom, because an aral is permitted to touch Truma. So if a Tfulyam who's forbidden to touch Truma is permitted to do the avoid of the Hazah of the Paraduma, so then, as we just seem to indicate from no one saying that an Aral is forbidden to touch Truma, and that Rebbe Kiva doesn't say that much, an Aral is like a Tame to say that it's forbidden to touch Truma, he's not allowed to eat Truma. Therefore, back to the question that, so who's the second Braisa that says that he's not allowed to do it? It would seem clearly from Allah's Kal V'Chomer that an Aral should be allowed to do the Hazah and the Kiddush of the Paraduma. Now, however, the Gemara responds, "Veloy, what do you mean? We have a braisa that says clearly that Rebbe Kiva equates an aral to tumah, and therefore that's our source that we need to say that he's the tana of the second braisa that he actually does transmit tumah to touching truma, because of Akatani, we learn the braisa that says ha'aral v'hatameh peturim in the ria. You see that it equates aral and tumah. That just like a tumah is not allowed to, is exempt from having a lila regal coming up to the base of Mikdash because he's tameh. So to an aral must be because aral is like a tameh. But the Gemara says, no, that's not a raya because hasam shem demois. There is because someone that's uncircumcised is considered disgusting to show his face in the courtyard. And again, therefore, we have not resolved this second braisa with the first braisa to say it's Rebbe Kiva, because Rebbe Kiva can't be saying that an aral is forbidden to touch truma, to therefore to touch the mei paraduma, because then we would have had somewhere a braisa that would have told us that an aral is like a tame. Now, although the Gemara has not resolved the contradiction of these two braises regarding halacha that Rebbe Elazar told us regarding if an Arul is permitted to do Hazah of the Paraduma ashes, but the Gemara does elucidate one component of this last brisa and tells us about Ozdu, that this machlekes between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbanan, that they argue regarding an androgynous. If an androgynous is permitted to spray the mechatas on a person that's tamei meis, are actually tamayu. They go according to the reasoning mentioned elsewhere. It sounds like we learn the brisa. Hakoil, everyone that's pure, that's tahar, are kesheim lekadosh, are permitted to go ahead and mix the mechatas, which is to mix the ashes of the paraduma with the water. And that would include even a woman. Now, however, that would not be including someone that's uncircumcised or tameh, except for someone that's a deaf mute, mentally deranged, and a minor. That's the Rabbanan. Bihuda is machshir b'katan. He argues, he says, no, a katan is kasher, but upaisel b'isha, and therefore he argues regarding a woman, ubandragonis, so he invalidates a woman and androgynous, because androgynous is Safek Isha. So therefore we see this, they're going to their opinion mentioned elsewhere, that Rabbi Yehuda invalidates a woman and androgynous, and therefore he's not allowed to go ahead and do the Kiddush of the Mechatas, where the Rabbanan say that, no, a woman, and hence even androgynous, because even if he's maybe a woman, would be allowed to do it, and therefore this is their Lishitasim, that they argue about this Halacha elsewhere. Now, the Gemara elaborates on this, it says, my time of the Rabbanan. What's the reason of the Rabbanan that they say that a woman, and hence androgynous also, would be permitted to do the Kiddush of the Mechatas. So the Gemara says, it says a pasuk in Bamidbar. Now that pasuk is after that the ashes were gathered. So then it mentions this avoda of after the ashes were gathered, then it talks about Kiddush, about mixing those ashes with the water. Now it doesn't say about any avoda in between them. It's after the ashes are gathered, which that's one avoda, then it talks about Kiddush right after that. Now it says, then they will take these ashes for the one that's impure, that had touched the corpse, from the ashes of this burnt paraduma, this carbon chatas. Now on that, the Gemara explains that what Rabbanan interpret this pasuk is, hanach the pasli ba'asifa, those that are invalid, as the Gemara elsewhere darshins that they interpret, who are those that are not allowed to gather the ashes? Well, then they're psul mekiddush. Then they're forbidden to do the kiddush, because it's saying they, who's they? They who had gathered the ashes, they go ahead and they take these ashes and they mix it with the water. And therefore, hanach the kshem basi, but those that are valid in doing the gathering of the ashes, well, then they're kshem bekiddush. Then they're valid in going ahead and mixing that with the water, which is the part of the kiddush. Now, there the Rabban expound regarding the gathering of the ashes. It says in the pasuk v'asaf ish, that a man will gather, where the Rabbanan say that's excluding a minor. Now when it says ish tahar, someone that's pure, that includes a woman who's also pure. Now the Gemara there expounds and explains why couldn't we darshan the other way around. Why don't we say ish and not a woman, and tahar will say even a minor? That's because as the Gemara there in Yuma elaborates at length about this context of maitzi miad maitzi, where we have to say that what was before granted is the opposite now. But be that as it may, the Rabbanan say that whoever's kosher by sifa is kosher by kiddush, because it's v'locho, and they will take. And who's kosher by sifa is a woman, and therefore androgynous will either way be kosher, because if it's a man for sure, and if it's a woman, will also be kosher. Now, but Rabbi Yehuda Malach, he'll tell you, and the reason why he argues and says no, that a woman is forbidden to do the kiddush, is because Ibn Kain, if that's the case, that those that are allowed to do that sifa, the gathering of the ashes, are the ones that do the kiddush, the mixing of the ashes with the water, well then, name a krov alokach. Then the pasuk should have said, v'lokach latame, and then he will take, whoever it is that gathered the ashes, will go ahead and take for the one that's impure, because, as Rashi explains, just like it says the singular terminology by the gathering, where it says v'asaf, if we're continuing and saying whoever did the gathering, where it says an individual, and is the same one that does the mixing with the water, so it should have continued in that same vernacular of singular, of saying v'lokach. Rather, my v'lokach, Rabbi Yehuda says, why does it say in the plural, and they will take, to tell you, oh, the afilah hanach de psulin hasam, no, that even those that were invalid over there by the gathering, meaning minors, kishayim hacha, are valid over here. And that's why he argues on katan, where he's with the chacham say that, no, that a katan is invalid, because they're invalid by the gathering, so they're the same people that are invalid by the mixing. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, that since it used the terminology in plural, adding others, it's saying even those that were puzzled by the gathering, meaning a minor, is kosher by the mixing. But then the Gemara asks, Ihachi Ishinami, then even a woman should also for sure be kosher. Why does it say Ish is puzzle? If we're saying Bilaki plural, not only those that were kosher, but even those that are puzzled, so the kosher ones, which were kosher for the gathering is a woman, so even the woman should be kosher for the mixing. That the Rebbe Yehuda says, v'nasan, it says, and that he will go ahead and mix it, v'loi v'nasna, and not, it doesn't say, and that she will. Now, Tosfos explains, it's really expounding it from an extra pasuk. It was an unnecessary word, because you can't say, because it says v'nasan, that means in the masculine, not in the in the feminine, because the whole entire Torah said in the masculine, and therefore that wouldn't be a proof that a woman would be invalid, but he darshens from the extra word v'nasan to say, v'loi v'nasna. Now, Rabban, they respond back to Rabbi Yehuda. No. Although, yes, it said first that it said in the v'asav in the singular, and then it uses plural v'lakhu, but iksiv v'lakach v'nasan, had it continued in the same singularity as it had by the gathering of ashes to the mixing, and it would have said, and he will take, and he will put, meaning with the water, well then, havamina, I would have thought to say that shakal chad, that only one is allowed to take the ashes, v'yahav chad, and then only one person go ahead and mix it with the water. That's why the Torah writes, and they will take to say that it doesn't have to be one person. That's why we use plural, not to say to add on even those that are apostled by Asaf. Now, because Rahman of Lakhu Benasnu, and had it said that plural by both Velakhu and Benasnu, that they will take the ashes and they will place it with the water, well then Havamina de Shakli Trebi Abitre, then I would have thought to say that it has to be two taking it and two placing in the water. Because Rahman of Lakhu Benasnu, that's why the Torah tells us they will take and he will put. To tell you that fila shakli trevi avichad, that even if two take it and one put, it doesn't make a difference. All those combinations will be valid. But it's not that, like you're trying to say, Balakhu is coming to include even those that were apostle are going to be kosher. No, those that were kosher are kosher, those that were apostle. And therefore, again, the Rabbanan are of the opinion that an Isha and a Dragoness also, who's a Safek Isha, will be valid by the Kiddush of the Hazah, just like they're kosher by the Asifa. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda argues again because based on Velakhu and Venasin, which is Lebele Venasna, he excludes an Isha and hence would also exclude an Andragonist, which is a Safek Isha, as we learned, their Machlaik is in that second verse that we brought before. Now the Gemara concludes this discussion on top of Ayin Gimel Manalv by expounding one more pasuk that it says there in the parasha of the Paraduma, the red heifer, it says, V'hiza hatar al atame. It says that the one that's pure will spray these ashes of the Paraduma on that one that's tamei from touching a dead person. Now, when it's this that it says in the pasuk tahar, it sounds like that it's someone that's pure in this context. Mechlal shu tamei, we can infer that, however, he is considered tamei for something else, because why else is saying that he's tahar? Of course, we're using a tahar. Limud al tefuyim that comes to teach us regarding a tefuyim who is tamei in other contexts in halacha. For example, a tefuyim is forbidden to partake of truma. Shekasher bapara, that is going to be valid by the avodah of paraduma. And that is as Rashi explains, because if you would entertain that when it says v'hiza tal tami means to say a regular tar person, well then the pasuk shouldn't have said anything. Because I would have known, of course, someone that's tame cannot do the avodah by the paraduma, because the Torah calls the paraduma as a karmachatas. And obviously, kachim has to be done with someone that's tar, not tame. So why does the pasuk say the word tahar? Must be that even the smallest amount of tahara applies to him. Because we find that a tefillah is considered and called on some level tar, as the pasuk says in Mikra Dal, v'rochatz b'mayim b'tar, just by immersing in the mikvah, he's tar. As we find, for example, by the lachs of Meiser, right after the tefillah, he could partake of Meiser. So there is some element of tahara. That's what the Torah is teaching by throwing in the word hatar to say that even the most minute amount of tahara, even that of a tefillah, can go ahead and do the avodah of the hazah of the paraduma.